Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Surviving the Shift, a show where spirituality meets practicality, with your host, Michelle Arbeau.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Surviving the Shift. I'm your host, Michelle Arbeau. Tonight, we have special guest, Fagan Thakrar. Fagan has starring roles in the upcoming features Blood and Curry and Bahopal, I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, A Prayer for Rain, alongside Misha Barton and Martin Sheen. She was also recently named international spokesperson for the Sahara Charity. Fagan is going to be up close and personal with us tonight, discussing her spiritual side and her views on life. So welcome to the show, Fagan.
Hi, thank you so much. How are you?
Good, how are you? Great to have you on.
Typically,
I don't have a lot of celebrities on, but I do like to throw in some here and there. Usually we have spiritual gurus on or people that are in the spiritual field, but I do like to throw in a couple of people who, every once in a while, who can share, I guess, the everyday perspective on spirituality, you know, people who don't, you know, have a job within the spiritual community. So it's really great to hear that perspective, and especially so being a Hollywood actress and having, you know, all of that negativity surrounding you at times and all of that stuff. So I'm really interested to hear your side of things in terms of spirituality and life in general. So I guess, Fagan, this is really your opportunity to really show us that I guess the misconceptions that people have about Hollywood and about actors and actresses, that they're all very shallow or superficial, and that's not the case. And definitely, for your case in particular, definitely not so. So if you could start off, Fagan, with telling us a little bit about your spiritual beliefs and just a little bit about, I guess, your inner self. However you'd like to go about it, you can go ahead.
Well, I really believe in you need a balance in your life, and especially in this entertainment industry where 1 minute is up and 1 minute is down, you really need to have a balance within yourself. I do a lot of meditation. I meditate every morning. I do this this program called The Art of Living, and it's all over the world. Millions of people I'm attached to it, and it offers a program to uncover the strength and the peace and the joy that lies on the core of every human being. And it nurtures the spirit and compassion of every individual. And I did courses in India in an ashram in Bangalore. I started to do it there. I did it in London. And at the moment, I'm based in Los Angeles, and I'm doing it over here. There's a center that just opened downtown in Los Angeles, so I do that every week as well, to continue the meditation, the breathing exercises that we need to do. Like, it's a part, it's like we eat, we drink, we need to breathe. It's a part, and we need to meditate. It's a part of life.
Yes, and you're East Indian. Is that where you're from originally?
I was born and brought up in London, and my parents are from, well, my mum is from India, I'm from Gujarat, and my dad is from, he's also Indian, but he's from Africa.
Okay, and meditation is definitely a part of the Indian culture, for sure. This is definitely part of, so this is, I guess, part of the belief stemming from your culture or your heritage?
Yes, it is, but also, I mean, it's very big. When I go to India, it's, Art of Living did start in India, and there are a lot of gurus and a lot of ashrams, and it has started from India, but it's all over the world now, and it's not, it's more about if people want to find themselves, then meditation is the best way. So actually, my mom, who's actually got me into the Art of Living Foundation, and she did it when she was in India. But my first course I ever did was in London.
Wait, you called it the Art of Living? Is that what you called it?
Yes, it's called the Art of Living.
The Art of Living, okay. Yeah, I'm having a bit of a time hearing her. Just the volume level's not quite there. So I understand, you know, you're on the West Coast, so definitely that makes a big difference, and being on a cell phone. But, yeah, so if I ask you to repeat, it's just because the volume's not as high as it should be. But, okay, so the Art of Living, this is, you were talking about the meditation and such. So what does this entail besides the meditation and the breathing and all of that?
Basically, it's a program. It's a course. You do part one, you do part two. And the course basically offers to uncover the strength, the peace, and the joy that lies at the core of every human being. It's by nurturing the spirit and compassion of every individual. And the foundation seeks to help build a global society that is free of stress and violence and misery. And it helps the full of, you know, wisdom and celebration. And it was started by Sri Ravi Shankar. And this began in 1982. And now they have, it's one of the largest, and there's millions of followers, a part of the Art of Living all over the world.
I don't think I've heard of the Art of Living, and I'll definitely have to do some research on that, because it sounds fascinating. It sounds very much in alignment with what I believe in and my spiritual beliefs, so I'll have to definitely do a little bit of research on that. Okay, so
yes,
you do meditation and you do the breathing exercises, and so I guess you take a very practical approach to life then. You were talking about balance, that we all need balance in life. So in terms of being in Los Angeles and being an actress, it can sometimes get very difficult, I'm sure, to maintain that balance, because everyone's trying to, you know, I guess, get the spot that you're trying to get in, right? As everyone's vying for the same spot. And so it can get a little hectic and a little out of control at times, I'm sure. And so to find that balance is, you know, something that you have to keep at the forefront of every day in order to maintain it. Is that correct?
That's very correct. As I said, in like the profession that I was in before, to what I'm doing now, it's a must. And if I didn't have a balance, then it's very, it could be very upsetting. Because, like, as an actress, you go for auditions, and you might be, you know, you might have done an amazing job, but you're not going to be right for the part, because you might be too short, or might be too tall, or you have the wrong eye color, or the director's ex-wife looks like you or something, like all these factors that are not in your control. And if you keep, and you go for auditions and you don't get the job, you think, oh, why was that? Always, like, as an actress, you have to be able to deal with rejection, and the stronger you are, that makes you a better actress. So, and having these ups and downs, and even when you book a very good job and it's like a big TV show or a big film, again, you're like on the up, and you need a balance to really, you know, so you like a grounding, because I know there's some actors who book something very amazing and it sort of gets to their head, and then after they're not booking for such a long time and they feel the downward scope. Now if you have a balance, it doesn't really matter. It's just a part of, it's a job, and it's just, you learn how to deal with it. So I think, especially in this industry, yes, you need to have it.
Yes, and you know, I have found, just speaking with various people who are in the same industry, that the ones that seem to endure and really stay grounded and focused on the important things in life and don't get lost in, you know, I guess, the one-track mind and seeking the goal only, are the ones that have that spiritual side intact, or that they remain, like you say, in balance and grounded and focused. So I think, you know, people like you and other people that maintain some sort of spirituality are the ones that endure, and the ones that, you know, have it all together, all pieces of their life, you know, not just focused on the goal, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, still focused on your goals. I think that also makes, and I have a few friends who are very, oh, until I get this, or until I'm here, or into this position, then I'll be happy. And I look and I tell them it's not about that, because you can never get up there. And even if you get up there, you don't appreciate it, because then you have another set. So you're never happy with yourself. And it's very important to just be happy with the present moment, so you can achieve. And when you reach that goal, you really experience it. So,
yes, I absolutely agree. Yeah. Yes, I, you know, that's very wise for someone so young, definitely. yeah, and the other thing I wanted to bring up was the fact that when I read your bio, I had read that you had studied medicine prior to or during the time that you had also pursued acting. Why the switch? I mean, those are completely different avenues, for sure. Is acting your first love, or is this your passion, or what would you say of those two things in your life?
Ever since I was growing up, you know, I love movies, and I'm very passionate about it. And I was from a small place in Leicester, in United Kingdom, called Leicester, which was a few hours away from London. And there wasn't much to do in terms of acting. So I did start a bit later on, actually, when I moved to London. I actually started it when I got into university. So when I moved to London at the age of 17, also I was going to med school. So that's when I actually started my passion. It was a bit of excitement. Oh, I'm moving to London. I can really get into my acting here. But also the main reason I was moving to London was for my med school. And I grew up and I never thought I was very academic, but I was getting very good grades, and I was enjoying a lot of science. And when it, you know, came down to think about what I wanted to do, I was getting like a satisfaction if I help people. So I did a lot of work experience in hospitals and nursing homes, and to see what I would like to do in the future, and in England compared to America, which I was having this conversation just actually this morning. In England, you have to decide at a very young age. I had to decide when I was 17 if I wanted to become a doctor for the rest of my life or not. And I was speaking to someone from Harvard today, and it's like you can, in your last year in your degree, you can decide on what major you want to take. So I was like, that's fantastic. At 17, how would you know if you want to become a doctor? So in my situation, I was 17, and I had to decide on what I wanted to do. And obviously, acting wasn't an option. I'm from like a very Indian traditional family, and acting and stuff like that is not really seen as a profession. So I was, okay, I like science, I like helping people, I'm very good, let me see if I get into, you know, I applied for med school and see if I can get in, and the more I was doing research, the more I was like, yeah, I want to do this. And I had a work experience in Leicester Royal Infirmary. It was my local hospital back at school, and they said they were trying to get us out, like trying to show us all the negativeness of working there, like how many hours, and because they didn't want people to apply and then they decide that they don't really want to do it. So they were like, we have to work 100 hours per week and you're getting paid less than someone who's working in McDonald's. But that didn't bother me. It's, I wanted to help, and I knew that when I help someone, that satisfaction, it's amazing, and you can't get that anywhere else. So, and that's why I did medicine.
Right. Well, that's fascinating. I mean, well, I guess not fascinating, but interesting that you have to decide at the tender age of 17. Wow, that's quite a cultural difference between North America and India, for sure. You know,
yeah,
kids who are 17 here, you know, they get to go to college, and it's quite a party, really. I mean, they don't really decide what they want to do when they grow up until usually, you know, mid 20s sometimes. So. So, yeah, that's a pretty big decision to make, definitely.
At that point, you can make a good decision about your life. Like over here, you have undergraduates, and then you do postgraduate and your medicine. So you've already had 3-4 years of your degree, and you can make a right decision. So that's one of the reasons why I picked medicine, and I was doing it, and I was like, this is great, and I love it. But I started doing my acting when I was in London, and I was at med school, and someone recommended that I go to this competition, and I thought, oh, I would never win it, and it was like it was sponsored by BBC, it was like a Bali Idol, like you guys have American Idol, it was very similar to that, but it's for acting, and I just entered it and thought, okay, even if I win, I won't be able to do it because I have exams at the same time. So I entered it, and after a few months, I ended up winning the part, the main part, to tour in a theatre all over the UK. So that's when I started doing acting professionally. Same time going to med school, and that was a bit crazy, doing two things simultaneously.
Yeah.
I wasn't sleeping.
Yeah, that would be quite hectic for sure. Yeah, I love the synchronicity of it. I mean, that was kind of, you know, you winning it, winning that contest was kind of the little tap on the shoulder to say that this is what you should be doing, right? So in terms of helping people, you mentioned that quite a bit when you're talking about the med school, that you really wanted to help people. So what, in your acting, what do you hope to get across with the roles that you play and the movies that you do? How would you say you help people with those roles?
Well, I like to take on projects where I feel there's a message to give. When someone is watching a movie, someone they can learn from it. And the movies that I've shot, I just did a movie called Blood and Curry, and it was about a woman being domestically abused by her husband. And she was from India, she comes to America, and she's just getting abused, and she can't do anything about it because she's trapped in the situation, because she can't go back to India, because it's like she would be untouchable to her society. In this society in India, people, once you're married, they don't want you to come back. It's not really good. You're going back, oh, I'm having a divorce. And so she's in this country with not knowing a single person, and she's just taking this abusiveness. So I did a lot of research when I took on this role, and I couldn't believe how many people there are in this country where they just take this. And so this movie, this movie, when people watch it, I feel even if one woman sees this movie and decides, I need to get out of this, what I'm stuck into, and they can escape, I think that's giving a message, and that's helping someone. I think then I've done my job.
Yes, and that kind of leads into, as well, you were just named International Spokesperson for the Sahara Charity, which... is that not an Indian, does it cater to helping Indian women who are here in North America? Is this the case?
Yes. This was, we were having a screening in America of the movie, and the people from Sahara, they like we've been looking for a spokeswoman for in a very long time, and they asked me to be the spokeswoman, and I was very honored because it's something that I completely follow and believe in and want to help to overcome this. And what Sahara is doing for a lot of people at the moment, it's amazing. They're doing like events, raising money, because at the moment it's only it's very small, and there's only 5 rooms to help people. They take on people who have come from a different country in a very bad relationship, taking them out, educating them. They're doing computer skills, like English language, to teach them English if they don't know how to speak English, to get them out of the relationship, abusive relationship they were in, so they can be independent women and go out there and make their own money and survive. And it's just an amazing, amazing organization that I feel so honored to be a part of. And basically, as I was mentioning before, there's only very small, and there's only 5 rooms they have at the moment. And we want to make this, you know, expand it and help as many people, because there's so many calls. We get so many calls, and we can't help everyone. So we're just trying to get that out there. So yeah, go to www.sahara.org and just have a look. And it's an amazing opportunity to just help someone.
Yes, and you know, I took a look at the website when I was doing a little research before the show, and you know, just based on what they were talking about, the types of women that they help, I couldn't help but think that a lot of these women have those, you know, those patterns that really hold you back. And I'm sure, Fagan, you know what I'm talking about, because you are very spiritual yourself, and you know that we can get into these you know, patterns, because these women believe that they're not good enough, and that they're, you know, they're really, their spirits are beaten down, and they really have these negative patterns that, yes, we can help them, you know, get back on their feet, but they'll still have those same patterns, those same, you know, negative image of themselves, you know. And so I found that struck me, that I think they do need to address that as well. I'm sure that they are, but definitely with women like that, they would definitely have patterns that would need to be changed.
Exactly. And that they help that to overcome that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And I'm sure that they are, yeah. But I just wanted to make, you know, a mention of that for sure, because any woman who is abused would have those patterns that would need to be changed. And a lot of charities address just, you know, helping them in the physical sense and not so much in the mental and emotional. But I did see on the site that they are starting that too, so that's wonderful to hear.
Yeah, a lot of counseling very helpful of them, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to shift gears a little bit before I put out, actually, first of all, I'm going to say we're taking callers in about 5 minutes, so if there's anyone out there who would like to talk to Fagan, ask her a question or have a comment for her, the call-in number is 1-877-296-0345. So we'll be taking callers in about 5 minutes. So Fagan, I'd like to shift gears a little bit and just ask you a question that I typically ask a lot of guests, is what's your take on the whole 2012 thing? And you know, there's a lot of different views out there as to what it means for certain people, but what does it mean to you? What is, you know, does it mean anything significant to you at all?
Oh, the year 2012?
Yes, yes. I'm sure you've heard of the doomsday and all of that surrounding the 2012. Does this, and people talk also about, you know, spiritually evolving, that we're evolving as a whole, as a planet, things like that. Does it mean anything to you in particular?
I can believe things like that you hear. People saying in year 2000 everything's going to blow up or something.
Yeah.
I don't believe any of that. If it's going to happen, it will happen, but I don't even take notice of that.
Yeah,
feel
and that's just it. Yeah, and I do believe that as well. I think we're all just evolving, and that's just another date on the calendar for sure. So, yeah, I just thought I'd throw that out to you and see what you thought of it. is there anything in particular you'd like to discuss as well? Is there any areas that you'd like to address at all?
Yes, I was mentioning Art of Living. I do think this is, you know, a spiritual show. There are a lot of people who are listening who are into this kind of thing. And I do think a lot of people should check out this organization because it helps, it's spreading and it's helping and it's helped me a lot. And I would like, I like to give back. So I want to just let everyone know to definitely go to their site and check it out. And if it interests you, take a class, have a look. You can just go and see if you like it. I always believe in, you know, give back to the world. So I would just want to let that out there.
Right. So the Art of Living, is this something you're doing with the Sahara Charity or is this just in your own personal life only?
Oh, this is my own personal life. And I've been this for years. Actually, I started it. And it was great, and I didn't continue with it for years. And I started it recently, and it when I felt actually I started it when I moved to LA because I know LA is very needed it because when you're at school and when I was studying, you have just one thing to focus on. It's very easy when you're in a place. And doing what I'm doing now, you need, as I said, you need, as before I was saying, you need balance. And this has helped me a lot ever since I've started up again. So, I mean, I did it the first time and I wasn't too into it, so I just left it. It wasn't the right time for me to get into that. And it's not the right time for many people. People always come back to it, and it's just, it's when you feel like you need it. So check it out.
And I do believe in timing, and when things aren't right, then, you know, we leave it be and then go back to it when the timing is right. So, yeah, definitely it's on divine timing for sure. Okay, let's see. Do we have any callers yet? Okay, so we'll be taking callers now. If anyone's listening, they'd like to call in, and we'll just keep chatting until someone comes on the line. I wanted to say as well, Fagan, I'm a numerologist, so I'm always looking at the numbers and analyzing everyone's dates of birth because the people I meet, I always like to know their numbers. And so I took a look at your date of birth. I didn't have a year, but I did have the day and the month. And I noticed that next year in particular is going to be a big year for you in terms of going after your goals and manifesting. It's a year of abundance for you next year. So I like to call the 8 year the snowball effect because everything just seems to come out of nowhere. You get opportunities flowing into your lap, synchronicities and coincidences, and it's just a really big year in terms of going for the gold, if you know what I mean, going for, you know, whatever it is that you're wanting to do. And, you know, I'm in an 8 year this year, and it seems to be that everything's coming at me at once, all of these things to choose from, and, you know, there's no shortage of movement and change for sure. And so for you in particular, next year and the 2 years after that are going to be big change years. You're heading into a very big change portion of the cycle. So this year in particular, if you're finding that this year is a bit slow for you or a bit lackadaisy, you know, just things aren't really flowing in the physical sense as well as you'd like them to, or you feel that you need to withdraw and be, you know, very self-reflective, it's because of the energy that's around you this year in particular. It was a 7 year for you, and it's a very self-reflective energy. So coming into the fall, it's going to pick up steam, and you're going to feel like you're heading into big change energy. So things are going to start shifting if they haven't already. Typically, the fall is usually when the energy starts to come in. So
what were you saying about the 7th? The 7th? And then you said about the energy.
Yes, this year for you is a 7 year, and next year is that 8 year that I was talking about, that high change energy. So this year is not a high change energy. This year is very subdued and self-reflective. It's more about looking back to how far you've come and looking ahead to where you want to go. So it's a very self-reflective, low change in the physical sense. So if you feel like things are stalled for you, or, you know, if you've done some work and it hasn't come out yet, or, you know, just things seem a little bit stalled, it's because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming into the fall now that we're into the fall, the eight energy is going to start making its way in for you. And so it's going to pick up steam. Yeah. So have you found it to be kind of a little bit self-reflective?
It's so funny, my mom even mentioned this to me, because I was making two decisions, and I was like, should I do this or should I do that? And mom was like, no, it's going to be changing, you should do this, and I was like, so when Alice told me that, so I find that very interesting, because I feel that, and in the last month, I feel a lot of things have changed for the better, so yes, there were things I was, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? I'm a Libra, and I get very undecisive at certain points. And things are making more clear now for me. So, yes, I can definitely feel. I can feel the energy.
Yes, and definitely. I mean, in numerology, things go in 9-year cycles, and so you're heading into the 8, 9, and 1 year, and those 3 years form the peak of the cycle. So you're heading into that whirlwind change. So usually a 7-year is that downtime. It's kind of like the calm before the storm. And so you're kind of taking that moment to just take a deep breath and decide on what you're going to do, and then it's full steam ahead coming into the new year. So you'll definitely see some things coming into your lap for sure, and that's the projects that you were working on that didn't seem to really manifest the way you thought may snowball into something more, and it's go time, so to speak. What is your year of birth?
Pardon?
What is your year of birth?
As an actress, I don't want to say, you know, they always stereotype you. You're too young to play this role. You're too old to play this role. So I'd rather not say.
Yes.
If you want.
Okay.
Hello?
All right. Well, I just, if I had the full year, I could let you know what your energy is, or who you are, in terms of, if you wanted to add it up yourself, you could do that and then let me know what the number is. If you take your month and your day and add it to the year altogether, and let me know what that number is, could you do that?
So the month?
You add each individual number. So you would add, it's October 12th that you're born, so you would add the 1 plus the 1 plus the 2 plus the 1-9, whatever it is that your year of birth is.
Okay, so I'll just repeat that. So it's my birthday is 12th of October, so I add 1 and then 2 and then 1.
It's the 12th of, that's right, so you add 1 and 1 and 2, right? And then you add it to the 1 plus 9 plus whatever your year, the rest of your year is.
Also just add, so I should just add the numbers?
Yes, each individual number. So it would be 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 1 plus 9 plus whatever the other part of the year is.
Okay, so it's 25.
Is it 25? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that would reduce. So that's the entire year added to the month and the day, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, 25 reduces to 7 because 2 plus 5 is 7. So you're a 7. Now, 7s are considered the truth seekers. So 7 is always looking for the deeper meaning in life. So I can definitely see where this, you know, spirituality comes from and you needing the balance and always wanting that depth in life. You would never be those types, you know, the type of actress who's superficial or just, you know, worried about the goal, because sevens are always wanting that more in life. They need that. They need that for balance. And so sevens are also doers. They're the people who always have to be doing in life. And they always, typically sevens are the ones that leap before thinking sometimes. They'll jump ahead and do something and then learn through hindsight. So it can seem at times that sevens can often I guess, learn through sacrifice and loss a lot. They seem to experience more personal hardship or more sacrifice than some.
Okay.
And the seven as well is the most active physical number. So it's definitely, you know, it's about doing, but it's also that philosophical number, that very high, high spiritual energy. A lot of churches are coincidentally at a seven address. They just seem to be drawn to build churches on locations that have a seven address because they are so deep and spiritual, and the energy of that address is so, I guess the depth and wisdom there is a beautiful energy for church, for to build a church. So the seven, yeah, and in particular, the 25/7 before it reduces to seven, that life path in particular is always associated with, they say, with the angelic realm. So if you believe in angels or if that's something that's in your realm of possibilities, they do say that that particular life path has a strong angelic presence around them.
Okay. Interesting.
Let me see. I'm just going to put this caller number out again because some people are saying they're not able to get through, so... Okay, it's 1-877-296-0345. A couple of people on chat were saying they couldn't get through to the line. I'm not sure why. So we'll just wait again and see if someone calls through. Okay, so yeah, that's kind of your number in a nutshell. It's definitely you're the doer, but you're the spiritual doer. So yeah, definitely helping people through your work, you know, really sharing that spiritual message through your work is really important to you. So, you know, it's a beautiful energy. Sevens are some of the wisest and, you know, they're the spiritual teachers because when they get to the more mature parts of their life, they've gone through so much and they've learned so much from all the experiences they've gone through and they've integrated them so well that they become these wise sages in their later years for sure.
Right. Okay. And you were mentioning about the cycle of nine. So every time you're in your 8, 9, and 1, it's kind of your peak years.
That's right, yes. So you go through the cycles of 9. So it's 1 to 9, 1 to 9, and you go through these 9-year cycles of change. And, you know, for example, the calendar itself, it goes through its own cycle. The moon phases go through a certain, you know, cycle, and, you know, the seasons, there are cycles within cycles. But for humans or for, you know, this, you know, us in particular, we have the 9-year cycles of change. And so when we get to those 8, 9, and 1, that's kind of the peak years of the outward doing. It's not about inner reflection or the pausing years or the down years. It's the outer change years.
Right. Okay.
All right, so I guess we're still having trouble with people getting through. Not sure what's going on. They're still saying that a recording is coming up, and that's not a good number. Interesting. Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to keep talking. There are callers waiting that we can't, I guess I'll have to ask if anyone has a question through chat, so.
Okay.
All right. So we'll wait for that. Yeah, so let me see if I have a couple of questions prepared for you. Let me see. The other one I wanted to ask, and it's just another little quirky question I like to ask guests. I asked them about the 2012, and also, have you ever seen any multiple number sequences, like on clocks or radios or license plates, things like that? Have you ever seen just random numbers like that? Multiple numbers, as in, you know, 1111, or some people do see that, or they see 555 or 222. Have you seen any of these just randomly that come into your sphere?
On the alarm clock?
Yes, on the alarm clock or, you know, microwave or license plates. Just different number sequences that seem to show up in your life. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Yeah, you know, I used to see that a lot.
Yes?
I haven't. I used to. I don't know. I just, I do and then
which
I don't.
Numbers did you see?
What did I see? God, I can't remember. I actually can't remember. I'll be making a guess, actually. I think I see them, and I don't really always pay attention, so I just overlook it.
Yes, yes. Well, I just always ask that because a lot of people do, and in particular now, for some reason, a lot of people are seeing multiple number sequences just randomly. Some people mention they see the multiple ones or 222 or 555, and they see them everywhere, and sometimes they can seem like they're messages.
Something? Does that
mean
something?
Yeah, they definitely do. You know, they can, in my own life, I've definitely found that numbers can be messages. You know, they have meaning behind them. So sometimes when I see multiple numbers and I see them randomly and I see them frequently, I stop and take notice and usually refer to my numerology books to find out what they mean for sure. Because there are a lot of people who are seeing them. So I always just ask that and see if anyone is sharing that too with me, because I definitely see that a lot.
Right.
All right, so we have a question through chat. Let me see. Okay, someone's asking about the art of living. Someone says there's a place in Quebec that has a center. She's just asking to tell a little bit more about the art of living, because Quebec here is in the Maritimes, in the Canadian, or sorry, it's not in the Maritimes, it's beside the Maritime provinces here in Canada. So there's, I guess, obviously there's centers all over with this art of living. And she also wants to know how you discovered the art of living.
Okay, so yes, they are all over the world. And how I discovered it was, as I mentioned, my mom was the first one to tell me that to do the course. And she told me, and I didn't do it. First time.
Okay,
yes, okay.
And she also says, is your mother your spiritual teacher? She wanted to know that.
No, she's not. Well, she just guides me a lot. She just guides me, but she's very interested in a lot of different things. So this is one of the things she told me that she did, and she liked it. And again, with my mom, she did it, and I don't think she continued it until, again, recently as well. So, yes, it was. She's the one who mentioned it to me, and then I took it with my brother. Actually, we did this part one course in London,
mm-hmm.
And then I went to Bangalore and did it over there. That was a complete different experience, and that was a course I did. It was a very different course. So the first one was very easy. It was a few days in the evenings and weekend, and just got to know the breathing techniques. How we did the breathing, and then a bit of meditation. And then the second course was we had to be silent for 5 days. And I thought, what? You have to be silent for 5 days? I thought, no way I can do that. No way I'll be able to do that. And it was a very good experience. And when I came out of the five days, I felt so amazing. And so peaceful. And I recently did it a couple of months ago. I was in Los Angeles, and I flew to Hartford, just like 2 hours away from New York. I didn't even know that place existed, actually. And I went there, and I was like, we did part two course, and we had to be silent. And the silent, we were breaking the silent on the last day. And I was like, really? I didn't want to come out of silent. I really enjoyed being silent, and I wanted to, you know, do it more. And it's not just being silent. It's like no contact with emails, no phones, no TV, no internet. Just concentrate on yourself, and it's magnificent how much you learn about yourself.
Yes, is this the art of living? Is this based from an Indian modality?
Sure.
Pardon?
Yes, it's it was inspired by Ravi Shri Ravi Shankar, and he's the spiritual leader, And this began in 1982. And this man is amazing. You just need to see one of his CDs, one of his stories, and you can just find out. I don't need to tell you.
Yes. Have you ever thought about teaching this art of living to the women that are being helped by the Sahara Charity? Because, you know, definitely being a seven, you know, sharing what you know with others is a part of your journey as well, you know, really. And I know that you said that through your acting and such, you do share a message, but I think that doing something like this would really be fulfilling for you, teaching and sharing, you know, these bits and pieces that you know, with other people.
Oh, yes, I definitely, because I've done part one and part two of Art of Living, the next step for me to do is like a teacher training program, which I would want to do, not at this moment, as I told you, time and stuff like this, but in the future I would like to do a teacher training program and be able to teach the course. I mean, my friends come to me and ask me how to meditate and how to do this, and I can teach them, but the whole course, you have to be a teacher to teach. You have to use a teacher training program to actually teach the course. I would love to teach it to the people at Sahara, the women at Sahara. I think that would be amazing.
Yes, I think so, too. I think that would be... And, you know, your energy, too, is so... so sweet and gentle that I think that they would really, you know, pay attention to what you have to say. I think that they would really welcome you to do this type of work, for sure. I think it would definitely complement your acting career, for sure.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess we have about 13 minutes left, so we can just kind of have some casual chat about whatever you'd like. So you have this new movie coming out. Two new movies, is it? Or
yes. Pardon?
Two new movies?
Yeah,
do you have two new movies coming out? Is that correct? Yes. When are they due?
Yes, I do. Pardon?
When are they due out?
I'm sorry about the reception. If I've just moved towards the beach in Santa Monica, and reception is not very good, so I'm coming on the balcony, so you might hear the waves.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
So, I can hear you better.
okay.
So, they're coming out.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so Bob is hopefully going to be at the Cannes Film Festival next year, and it's going to be doing this festival round, and then it should be releasing. Like to the American market. It's more, this movie, it was shot in India, and it's like the biggest industrial disaster in human history, where 10,000 people died. And the movie is the last few months leading to that event. And we shot the whole entire movie in Hyderabad. It's some of it's in Hindi, and majority is in English, like Slumdog Millionaire. This movie is going to be more for the international market than for people in India. And so that will be next year. And Blood and Curry is going to be released next year, early next year too.
Right. So during your 8-year, right? That high change energy, sure, right? Yeah. So, another question. Someone else asked a question through chat actually. They would like to know... you know, you do the meditation, but do you believe that our guides or, you know, the spiritual realm talks to us through meditation?
So can you repeat that question?
Okay. Someone asked about your meditation practices and if you believe that our guides or the spiritual realm communicates to us through meditation. Do you believe this?
Yes, sir. And that's why I meditate. Because I feel sometimes I don't know the answers. I'm looking for answers. I'm searching for answers. And as I said, I'm a Libra, and I sometimes find it difficult to make decisions. So when I meditate, I find I sometimes answers out of nowhere, and I follow them, and that is, I feel like that is the right answer to go and do, because sometimes, should I do this, or should I do that, and my instincts tell me one thing, but my head's telling me another thing, so I feel I lead my answers to my meditation.
Yes, yeah, and I do believe that as well. I definitely believe that the spiritual realm communicates to us through meditation practices, obviously. But, yeah, as a seven as well, you're very spiritual, like I said, and also have that direct link with the angelic and the spiritual realm for sure. So I guess you're doing the right thing with the meditation, and really, you know, if you are indecisive, meditation will definitely help you in particular because you have that direct connection.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't get it. Like, you can't sit there going, I want an answer, because there's something that I had to make a very important decision very recently, and I was meditating, but I wasn't getting an answer. And I was like, I don't know why I'm not getting an answer, but it's not like, let's meditate and get an answer. You can't have that. I feel what I'm doing, and what I'm very new at this. I haven't been doing it a very long time. So I'm in a learning process myself, and so yeah, that's what another thing I learned. You can't really, if you think you're going to get an answer, you're not, you know. So
yes.
It will come to you. Yeah, I'm learning
yes.
too.
Yes, and you know what? I really think for someone who is so young, and you've got a really, I guess, a really good outlook on life, and you understand. Things that only, you know, a more wiser soul would. So I really think you've got to step ahead in terms of life in general. But that, you know, that typically comes with the seven life path. Like I said, they end up being these wise sages. And so you're shining through already with this wisdom and knowledge that you just seem to innately know. It just seems to be your gift, right?
I think so. I hope so.
Yes. Well, definitely, you know, I wish you the best of luck, and it was, you know, wonderful to have you on and talk about, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff, because not a lot of people see this side of you. You know, not a lot of people know this about you. They see your acting work, and they see what you've done outwardly, but it's always nice to be able to listen to interviews like this and say, oh, yeah, she really is a good person. She really does, you know, she's real and grounded and down to earth, so I think this interview will serve you well in the long run, for sure, and people can hear this and know a little bit about the real Fagin, right?
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed speaking to you about this.
I did, too. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to say just in closing? Or?
No, I think I generally, you know, we've talked about everything, and I think everyone is just, what I really believe in is just to have a very balanced life. And it's like people eat, and I mentioned before, people eat and people sleep and they drink water and breathing. People need to breathe and meditate. I think it's part of life, and people need to do that. Yes.
Yes, I agree. So if anyone wanted to find out more information about you and your work, the website to visit is, what is the website?
It's www.fagun, which is FAGUN.net.
Okay, and you also have information on LondonFlairPR.com as well. Is there information about you as
yes.
well there?
Yes,
okay.
All the stuff also on that website, yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, as I'm sure people will want to know a little bit more about you. I just saw someone had mentioned in chat, they said you're a very sweet and sincere person. So, and I agree with that, for sure. So
thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming on. And definitely keep in touch and let me know how that 8-year goes for you. I'd like to hear all about it. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic.
Thank you. Yes. I saw you every week at this time.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right, great. Well, I'll be signing off with you now. Thank you so much, Fagin, and have a great evening.
Great. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, guys, next week, I'm so excited about next week's show because we have a dream expert coming on. Dream expert Kelly Sullivan Walden. She's a dream coach that specializes in empowering people to live the life of their dreams. She's a certified clinical hypnotherapist, an ordained interfaith minister, human design analyst, goddess, queen, gathering facilitator, and inspirational speaker. Kelly blends the art of dream analysis with her holistic coaching style to produce life-changing results. Kelly will also be talking about her latest book, I Had the Strangest Dream. The Dreamer's Dictionary for the 21st Century. If you've ever had a question about dreams, this is going to be the show for you. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and tune in next week for another great episode of Surviving the Shift.